So my name is Julia, and I'm an adult child. I have been in ACA for 6 years now. It was my first 12-step program, and the way I got introduced to the program was through my well, I had a therapist who figured out that my mom was most likely narcissistic. And I Googled that, and all the pieces of the puzzle came together, and I did a lot of research on narcissism. And so I was researching books, and then there was a therapist who specialized in it, and she referred me to this program. And I had no idea that I qualified. I had been to an AA meeting once with someone I was dating who was in AA. But I didn't think that I really belonged because there was nobody in my family who was an alcoholic that I knew of, my immediate family. So I am Taiwanese American. I was born in the US. My parents are from Taiwan. They came over probably 50 years ago at this point. And I grew up just very isolated. I have a twin sister and a younger brother, and my twin sister is also narcissistic. But basically, I was bullied my whole life by my mom and my sister, and my dad and my brother sort of just did nothing about it. But I bonded with my dad. So anyhow, I just had a really sheltered childhood, and I just thought, I'm supposed to be studying all day. They never let me out of the house, and I thought that was, I didn't like it, but I thought that was just sort of the Asian way. You just gotta study and be, work hard. My mom did, I think when my sister and I were about 6 or 7, she did, she did beat us with wire hangers. And I thought that that was a Taiwanese thing, cultural thing. We hung out with other Taiwanese families, and someone else had mentioned that their mom also beat them with wire hangers. And I didn't know any better, and I thought, well, that must be a Taiwanese thing. And so just going through my life, very, did not get along with my mom and my sister. I was constantly trying to get away, and so I did. I came to the Bay Area, and they were like in Chicago, and for the longest time, I didn't have any interactions with them until they started to move out here also. My brother, my sister, and now my parents, and they're kind of driving me nuts. But yeah, I started ACA and I had no idea what to expect. I did the, I think, 60 and 90 days or 30 and 90 days. And then I immediately got a workbook group going together. So there's three of us that we asked to meet, and we kept it closed. We did not invite other people to join because, we got to know each other's stories, and we thought that if it was someone new was coming in and out, that, they weren't starting, we weren't starting all in the same place. So, yeah, my workbook group, there's three of us. We happen to all be mothers. We all have kids. There's also another single mom there. I'm a single mom by choice. My daughter was 6 months old when I started ACA, and I used to bring her to meetings, and then she started crying, and then I had to get a babysitter every time I needed to go to a meeting. She's older now, and so I just put her on the iPad, and I can go to meetings now. But in the beginning, it was hard. So my workbook group, we've been meeting for 6 years now. The first year we did the yellow workbook. The second and third years, we did the laundry list traits workbook. And then the fourth year, we read the red book, partially. And then now we are on the loving parent guidebook. And it's just amazing that we are still together. And I think that the key to that is that we all are very motivated to try and unlearn what was taught to us by our parents, because we don't, the desire to not pass on all these traits is really strong, right? So it's a very strong motivator. So we used to meet, right outside Epworth Church in Berkeley. We used to meet, And then it got cold and it was raining. We would meet in someone's car, right outside the church. And with COVID, we just do phone meetings, but we are starting to meet back in person. That's the core foundation of my program. ACA for me, when I first started going to meetings, was like such a strange concept, and I didn't know what to expect. And I thought at first that it was very like, maybe this is a Western thing. Maybe this is a Western individualistic thing, because, I'm Chinese. I come from a collectivist culture. Maybe ACA is just for people who live in these individualistic societies, right? Like, I just thought, I questioned it, right? And I also questioned my therapist, who was white. Oh, my family can't be that bad. How much experience do you have with, Asian families? And, you're telling me my mom's narcissistic, but her characteristics seemed just similar to other Asian parents I knew. Super strict, education was the focus, you don't go out and play, and yeah, there's probably beating and emotional abuse, but that was kind of normal. I mean, that's kind of what I saw. I never saw, I don't know, I just thought that was the norm. And she, my therapist, to her credit, was saying, well, yeah, that is true that, maybe this is part of your culture, but it seems like it's to an extreme in your family. And so, after a while, I just said, well, I have all the laundry list traits. The harm has been done. And she also explained, like, well, yeah, but there are some parts of culture that we might not necessarily want to keep with us, right? Like the fact that boys are more valued than girls in Asian society. Well, I don't necessarily want to keep that aspect of my culture going. It helped me to understand that, okay, this program is worldwide. It really helped to when the Zoom meetings came on, the pandemic, when I could really meet other people of color on Zoom meetings. Because in Berkeley, the Berkeley is very diverse, but the meetings were not that diverse. So it really helped for me to hear other people of color's stories and to hear that their experiences in terms of the laundry list traits. Like, no matter how we get to these meetings or the program, there are many, many different ways to be qualified, right? And so, I just sort of like put that out of my mind in some ways and just said, let's just do the program. And so, I was just like, I don't understand this inner child stuff. I don't understand this higher power stuff. But I'm gonna just go with it and try it out. And so I did. And the higher power part, I'm still trying to figure that out. But in the end, I figured out, well, higher power is definitely just something outside of myself, like the meetings. But it's also like this belief that someone is looking out for me. And whether or not that's true or whether or not it's just something I want to just believe, it really helps me. Right. And so it helps me in my life to think like, oh, I do have someone who's looking out for me and my self-interest because my parents are not. My relationship with my parents is not, it's getting better, but I've been no contact for about 6 years off and on. And I have more compassion for them. I used to have so much anger and rage, and I just now understand where they're coming from, that they are sick people. They are mentally ill. They have fragile egos. They lash out at the people that they love because they are the ones who are closest. And I did end up going to Taiwan for a year and a half to see how my mother was raised. And her mother, my grandmother, was super strict and very like not loving, and very favored the boys, told the girls they were nothing because you're a girl, you're not allowed to say anything or have an opinion. And I'm sure that's partially cultural, but it's very common. But it's damaging. So anyhow, COVID hit, and I used to go to one or two meetings a week, and now I go to, I never took to the Zoom meetings really. And so now I do one or two in-person meetings. And then now I go to all these other programs. I was like, wow, I don't just qualify for ACA. I qualify for Under Earners Anonymous. I qualify for Al-Anon. I qualify for right now I'm in Clutterers Anonymous. And it's just amazing how there's these programs out there and there's people out there who, the program's basically free. You do some donations, but people helping other people. There's no therapist making money off of it, or there's no ulterior motive. It's like you come, you try and get what you need, and you give what you need and what or you can, and it's always going to be there. And I think that that for me was huge because I took, I was in therapy for years, and I was depressed and barely functioning for 13 years, and before I found ACA. And it's just been a world of difference. Just having people that I can talk to in my life about whatever issues are going on in my life, and especially my workbook group. And then when the pandemic hit, I reached out to people and scheduled daily check-ins with people because that's what I needed to get through the pandemic. And the program allows me to have those resources that I can plug into. And I've done therapy and I've done classes and meditation, and it just doesn't really stick because I don't have the like daily reinforcement with other people who are also going through the program. And so that for me has been the huge saving grace. So now I am more in tune with my inner kids. They have started talking to me. My angry inner teenager comes out sometimes. That's, when my parents are like, they come and knock on my door unannounced. They don't respect my boundaries. And it's really sad because I want them to know my child, but they're very ill, and I can't set boundaries with them and have them respect it. So, it's a huge loss. I feel it as a huge loss because they are my connection to my Taiwanese language, Taiwanese culture, and those are things that I can't, I mean, I'm basically no contact with my whole extended family because they're all like flying monkeys. They just tell my mom with what I'm doing, even if I tell them not to, I can't trust any of them. And so I don't know how she has that much power over them, but I do have, half my family relatives are in the US, half are in Taiwan. But I have seen my cousins and aunts betray me and betray my trust and tell my mother what's going on with me. So I blocked them all, and I'm living my life. I have my daughter's 6 years old now, and I've told this story before, so you might have heard it before, but when I first started ACA, my daughter was 6 months old, and I would hold her in my arms, and I knew that I loved her. But I couldn't feel anything because my feelings were frozen, right? And after starting ACA, and I remember the first time I was actually present in a meeting, and all the voices in my head like went silent. And I remember seeing the trees outside the windows, and the colors were so vivid. I was like, wow, this is what it means to be present. Wow. I'm supposed to be present like this all the time. Like before, I used to be just in my head all the time, I guess. And now I'm like feeling things, right? And so now I can feel the love with me and my daughter, and just, the joy. I'm so lucky. I didn't know I was an ACA before I had her. I just knew I wanted to have a kid. And so I'm a single mom by choice. My daughter was conceived with donor egg, donor sperm. And I have no fa Okay, thank you. I'll wrap up. I have no family to help me, and it's really hard. But that I get to do what my inner kid wants to do with her. I get to buy frilly, sparkly dresses for her and for me and my inner kids. And it's, I get to do things that I never got to do as a child. It's a blessing, and I'm truly grateful. I do not recommend it to anyone as a path to recovery necessarily. It just what happened to me. I wanted a kid, I had her, and then my therapist noticed, like, yeah, I think your mom is narcissistic. And then I was like, oh my God, now I have no help. They did help me, but that was my therapist said, they're I was like, well, they came and helped me after she was born. And they're like, my therapist was like, yeah, but that's not out of the goodness of their heart. That's because they want to keep you dependent on them. And so it's true. So anyway, little by little, day by day, I'm growing stronger and am developing my self-esteem and my confidence and just getting to know myself better and taking care of myself better and all the self-care. And I never understood self-care. Why do I have to do self-care? And now I know, like, if I don't do self-care, I start spinning out of control. And anyway, so sometimes it's just the basics, right? One day at a time, and make sure I'm not, halt, hungry, angry, lonely, tired, or serious. And yeah, things are getting better for me, and my life is full, and I'm not always present and whatever, and but I'm just more forgiving of myself, and I'm letting go of the perfectionism, and just it's I'm getting to know how to interact with people better, and just what's up, what's my side of the street, what's the other person's side. Everything before was all blurred. There was no boundaries. So I'm just learning so much from the program, and I just am so grateful. So that's my story. Thanks for listening.